Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text 38. Vishaya Trisho Pashavo Ya Upasate Vibhutir Na Param Tvam Tesham Ashisha. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Isha tad anu vinashanti yata raja kulam vishaya trisho narapashavo ya upasate vibhutirna param tvam tesham ashisha isha. Tesham ashisha isha tadanu vinashanti yata rajakulam vishaya trisha, eager to enjoy sense gratification. Narapashava, man-like animals. Yay, who? Upasate, worship very gorgeously. Vibhuti, small particles of the Supreme Lord, the demigods. Na, not. Param, the Supreme. Tvam, you. Tesham, of them. Ashisha, the benedictions. Isha, O Supreme Controller. Tat, them, the demigods. Anu, after. Vinashanti, will be vanquished. Yata, just as. Rajakulam, those who are supported by the government. When the government is finished. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, O Supreme, unintelligent persons who thirst for sense enjoyment and who worship various demigods are no better than animals in the human form of life. Because of their animalistic propensities, they fail to worship Your Lordship, and instead they worship the insignificant demigods who are but small sparks of Your glory. For the destruction of the entire universe, including the demigods, the benedictions received from the demigods also vanish, just like the nobility when a king is no longer in power. Purport. Bhagavad Gita 7.20 says, Kaimais taiste ridigyana prapadyante nyadevataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. Similarly, this verse condemns worship of the demigods. We may show our respect to the demigods, but the demigods are not worshipable. The intelligence of those who worship the demigods is lost. Rita Jnana. Because these worshippers do not know that when the entire material cosmic manifestation is annihilated, the demigods who are the departmental heads of that manifestation will be vanquished. When the demigods are vanquished, the benedictions given by the demigods to unintelligent men will also be vanquished. Therefore, a devotee should not hanker to obtain material opulence by worshipping the demigods, but should engage in the service of the Lord, who will satisfy all his desires. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether a person is full of all desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, a person who has broader intelligence must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 2.3.10. This is the duty of a perfect human being, one who has the shape of a human being, but whose actions are nothing but those of an animal, is called Narapashu or a Dvipadapashu, a two-legged animal. A human being who is not interested in Krishna consciousness is condemned herewith as a Narapashu. Vishaya trisho narapashvo ya upasate vimutir na param tvam tesham shisha isha taranu vinashanti yatarajakulam. O Lord, O Supreme, unintelligent persons who thirst for sense enjoyment and who worship various demigods are no better than animals in the human form of life. Because of their animalistic propensities, they fail to worship your lordship, and instead they worship the insignificant animals, insignificant demigods, for but small sparks of your glory. For the destruction of the entire universe, including the demigods, the benedictions received from the demigods also vanish, just like the nobility when the king is no longer in power. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. In this verse it's stressed that Krishna consciousness gives one permanent benefit, permanent asset. That everyone is looking for some kind of benediction in this material world because the nature of the material world is that one feels some lacking. And in the Ishupanishad, it is explained in the invocation, Om Purnap Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachite. That the Supreme Lord is perfectly complete, and because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him are perfectly equipped as a complete whole. Therefore, the living entity in the material world, his illusion is that he's thinking that his incompleteness or his lacking is caused by an incomplete life of sense enjoyment. But actually, his lacking is due to his incomplete awareness of the complete whole, Krishna. That when he realizes the complete whole, when one becomes Krishna conscious, then one realizes one's own completeness. But those who are not Krishna conscious, those who are bodily and mentally conscious, who are on the bodily and sensual platforms, then they hanker, because that is the nature of those platforms, they become identified with the hankerings of the material senses and mind, and therefore, by any means, according to their knowledge, they try to satisfy the demands of the senses and mind. But even one comes to the platform of understanding the demigods, still one will not achieve real permanent benediction even by worshipping the topmost demigods like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. There's the famous story of Vrikasura, who tried to obtain some benediction. He went to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni suggested that he worship Lord Shiva. Because he was a demon, and therefore he wanted undoubtedly some benediction which would be not very beneficial. Therefore, if he worshipped Lord Vishnu, there was always the possibility that Lord Vishnu would not satisfy his demands. But Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosha. He's very easily satisfied and easily angered. So Vrikasura, he went to Kedaranath, where he went through a very severe penance of eating only ashes, except on Ekadasi, he fasted. And every day he'd cut flesh from his body and offer it into the fire. Svaha. So after some time, he was not getting the result, apparently, of his offerings. And it was, so he became a little frustrated. So he decided, all right, one last offering, I'll cut my head off and throw it into the fire. And if that doesn't work, what can you do? I did the best I could. So he bathed himself and with wet hair, because apparently when animals are sacrificed, their hair is wet. So he put his grabbed hold of his sika, took a big knife and was going to cut it off, and hopefully he had enough energy to throw his head into the fire. So he's about to cut his head off, and Lord Shiva appeared through the fire and touched his body and healed all the wounds and then offered him some benediction. Of course, Lord Shiva said that I'm simply pleased by a little bilva fruit and a little Gandhi's water. There's no need for such severe austerity. So he asked for a benediction, Drikasura, that whosoever head he touched would immediately crack into thousands of people, thousands of pieces, and the person would die. So Lord Shiva said, all right, I give you the benediction. And immediately Drikasura went to touch Lord Shiva's head, the idea being he tests out the benediction and kill Lord Shiva and kidnap his wife, Gauri, Parvati. So Lord Shiva began to tremble as Drikasura went to touch his head and fled throughout the whole universe. So there's a story, he went to all the different demigods and they all decided that it would be better off to not make the presence so available at that moment. So Lord Shiva was being chased all over the universe until he went to Svetadvipa. And there Lord Vishnu appeared as a Brahmin boy with Rudraksha beads, matted locks, a deer skin, a danda, and Lord Shiva fled past him. And then Drikasura came and he asked, my dear Lord, when he was going chasing after Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, in the form of a Brahmin boy, called out to Drikasura, my dear Drikasura, O son of Shukuni. Shukuni was Drikasura's father, so he thought, oh, he must be a friend of the family. So he stopped running, said, yes. He said, why are you running so fast, Lord Vishnu said. You're wearing your body out. And after all, if you wear your body out, how will you be able to fulfill the desires of your mind? Because it's through the body that the material desires of the mind can be fulfilled. So Drikasura said, oh, this is a very intelligent person. Maybe I should listen to him. Besides that, he's a friend of the family. So Lord Vishnu said, what are you doing? He said, I'm running after Lord Shiva and I'm going to touch his head and kill him and steal his wife because he gave me this benediction. So he said, oh, come on. You actually believe that Lord Shiva is giving out benedictions? Actually, I've heard that he had a fight with his father-in-law, Daksha, and therefore, since then, he's been ghostly haunted and he's been going all over the universe handing out false benedictions. So I don't believe in reality that this benediction will work. So what I suggest is that you should test out the benediction by touching your own head, and if it doesn't work, then you should immediately go and kill this rascal, Lord Shiva. So under the influence of Lord Vishnu's illusory potency, Drikasura touched his head and immediately he cracked into thousands of pieces and he died. So the idea is that the benedictions coming from the demigods are not always the best benedictions. That even one becomes a demigod himself, still he has to take birth and die. Although in our calculation, the span of the demigods, their duration of life is fantastic. Lord Brahma lives for 311,400,000,000 or 40,000,000 years. Fantastic duration of life, but in terms of cosmic time, it is just like phantasmagoria. It is just like a flash of lightning in the sky. For instance, there was one king, I forget his name, he went with his daughter, Revati, I guess it was Revata, he went with his daughter, King Revata went with his daughter Revati, and he was looking for a suitable husband. Therefore, he went to Lord Brahma's planet, and there the secretary, Lord Brahma, told him that Lord Brahma, right now, he's listening to a concert of the Gandharvas and some other singers and dancers. He'll be done in a minute. So you just wait a little while, and after he's done, you can have his audience. So after a little while, Lord Brahma, he came before Lord Brahma and said, yes, well, what would you like? He said, I'd like a suitable husband for my daughter, Revati. But Lord Brahma said, my dear king, he said, actually, there are no suitable daughters on your planet anymore, suitable kings, because everyone has passed away. You've been here for only some moments or some minutes, but during that time, so many kalpas have passed. Therefore, your whole dynasty has vanished, and anyone who's ever heard of your dynasty, they've also vanished. You're a has-been, so to speak. You're finished. Therefore, there's no one that we can offer your daughter to, because your whole dynasty doesn't exist anymore. But fortunately, at this moment, Lord Balaram is appearing on the Earth planet, so if you hurry up, you can catch him. And you can offer your daughter to him. The idea is that it may seem to us fantastic, millions and trillions and billions of years, but actually to the demigods who are enjoying on this level, it seems just like a day seems to us. It seems to go very quickly. Therefore, time is very relative. So although when they go up to the heavenly planets, because this is generally the aspiration of every materialistic man, is to enjoy the opulence and the sense gratification that's found in the heavenly planets, and they can't imagine anything beyond this. Of course, in present society, which is in the darkest of ignorance, where if you can smoke a cigarette, you're considered to, you know, if just like at the airport, in America they have no smoking. So people arrive in the plane, and the first thing they do is they light up a cigarette. Finally, the aim of my life has been achieved. Now I can finally breathe in some fire and become refreshed. So for 2 hours, 3 hours, they're hankering. When can I light up a cigarette and get some relief? Breathe in some fire. So the standard of happiness in this material world presently is not very high. If people can simply fill up their bellies with any kind of garbage, whatever it is, then they become very satisfied. In Spanish they say, briga llena corazón contento. If your stomach is full, your heart is satisfied. So it says that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Kali Yuga, if someone can maintain a wife and a child, he's considered bala, very powerful. And if one can fill up his stomach, then his life is considered very successful. So there's a very low standard of sense gratification. And nowadays, practically speaking, due to the preaching of this movement, people are becoming aware of a different standard, namely that of the demigods. But even this standard is not a very high standard, because we find, at least through the Bhagavatam, that even the demigods, they're in so much difficulty all the time. Although they have a higher standard than we have, but still they're not satisfied. But Indra is somehow or another always committing some offense, always being cursed, becoming a hog sometimes becoming entering into lotus flowers and staying there for millions of years. So as Prabhupada tells the story that one day Indra was cursed to become a hog on this earth planet. So he became very attached to his hog life. He had so many hoglets as children. He had a very beautiful hog-like wife. Whenever he saw her tail, he became immediately stunned. Her tail entered deep into his heart. But one day, Brahma, he came, he said, there are some problems in the universal management. We want you to come home. Indra, come back. But Indra said, no. He said, I cannot do that. I have so many responsibilities. My kids are young. I want them to go to college. I have to work. I cannot leave my beautiful wife. Besides that, the rent here is free. The food is always hot and fresh. How can I give up this life? So Lord Brahma, he cut off the heads of all these children and his wife's head. And then Indra came to his senses, especially when Lord Brahma was about to cut his head off, and agreed to come back to the heavenly planets. So everyone thinks that their life is divine. Everyone thinks that they have, it's not so bad. Even the worm in the stool is thinking that it is not so bad here. It is nice and warm. It comes in so many different flavors. The supply is unlimited. So even the worm in the stool is thinking himself very contented, very fortunate. So everyone is thinking like that. So everyone has their standard of sense enjoyment, and to the illusory energy, one is thinking himself very satisfied. But the actual standard of enjoyment is Krishna consciousness. That Krishna himself is rasa vaisaha. He is pleasure himself. And in his association, it is possible to experience pleasure. Otherwise, one will not be able to understand what pleasure is. That only through associating with Krishna can one understand what is the real standard of happiness. And Krishna's devotees. Krishna's devotees have, just like Srimati Radharani, she gives Krishna unlimited pleasure because of her unlimited love and affection for Krishna. And when Krishna enjoys that pleasure, everyone else enjoys Krishna's pleasure unlimitedly. So that combination of Srimati Radharani giving pleasure to Krishna and Krishna giving pleasure to everyone, this is the actual standard of happiness. So that happiness is everlasting and goes on forever. But until one actually takes up Krishna consciousness seriously, unless until one gets the mercy of Krishna, that is not really possible to understand. So here we are trying to theoretically understand what is that standard of happiness. We're trying to develop our intelligence. And then hopefully with that intelligence we can go through some austerity. We'll be willing to put ourselves through some austerity. It is not that simply by hearing about Krishna in the beginning that necessarily our hairs will stand on end and we'll roll on the ground in ecstasy. That is not usually possible. Of course, Krishna is very merciful. Sometimes he may give the devotee in the beginning some higher taste just to inspire him. But that is not necessarily the case. But we are hearing so we can learn, we can become enthusiastic to perform austerity. Of course, the best austerity is to come to class. That's austere enough in the beginning. Just to stay awake in class is quite a bit of austerity. But if we practice that austerity, then we get some taste, some enthusiasm to perform even more austerities. That is, not only to hear, but also to preach. To repeat what we've heard, to perform some austerity of service to Krishna. Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam. To do something other than hankering after sex life and something to eat. In the material world, although it appears that there is a big, big thing going on, Prabhupada gives the example of the Himalayan mountains. One day the whole universe got information that the Himalayan mountains were about to give birth to a child, and therefore there was great rumbling, and all the important demigods and sages gathered around to see what would the Himalayan mountains give birth to. So the whole world was shaking. All the demigods crowded around. And finally the Himalayan mountains gave birth. And out popped a mouse. So similarly, the whole material civilization, our modern civilization, there's so much rumbling, so many cars are going back and forth in the big cities, so much communication is going on, so many computers are working, so many airlines are going back and forth, so many airplanes, jets, satellites in the sky, people going to the moon. And what are they doing? What is it all for? To have a little sex and to eat something. And that's it. Something people are doing for millions and billions of years without so much commotion and propaganda and armies. These things were always going on, but now they've been, everything is very difficult. To maintain an apartment like in New York City, $2,000 a month to maintain a little room half the size of this temple room, a little apartment, and then to get something to eat cost so many hundreds of dollars. They said, I saw one little article that said that if you go to France for one lobster in some French restaurant, they charge you 500 guilders for one poor little lobster. So, things have become very complicated. Previously, things were simple. People have to work hard. They're always in anxiety whether they'll have a place to sleep and eat. But these things were not previously great accomplishments, although nowadays they are. But we should understand that the real accomplishment is not to work hard for meeting the demands of the material body, but the real accomplishment is somehow or another to perform some austerity so that one could become Krishna conscious. Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudyat. To purify the heart, to come to the mode of goodness, tasma brahma sokyam tunantam. So that one can actually experience unlimited happiness, which is eternal. It goes on forever. So this is the process. Here it begins with hearing. To agree that although we may not come to class and there may not be some dramatic thing that goes on. Everyone wants something very dramatic. You know, if we had cartoons of class, everyone would come. If there was, you know, a movie every day with something very exciting, so many people being killed in the movie, so much sense gratification going on. And people think, oh yes, let us come. But because it is not necessarily so dramatic all the time, it is not that. But still, we should come and hear about Krishna. Because it is by hearing about Krishna that we get the first opportunity to associate with him. It is not something ordinary. Although it may seem ordinary because of our consciousness not being purified. But gradually by hearing about Krishna, one evolves to this transcendental platform. And then one becomes willing to engage in some further austerity of serving Krishna, which will further purify one to the platform where one can actually come to realize Krishna. That Krishna consciousness becomes experienced, realized, vigyan. And then there's no more material misery, but only unlimited pleasure. So when one tastes or experiences that standard of pleasure, and all other pleasures, all other experiences, seem insignificant. Just like Prabhupada gives the example that if you're in a prison for a long period of time, that suddenly you're released, you have freedom, then you think, oh, how nice, how wonderful this is. So similarly, all conditioned souls are prisoned by material consciousness, always uncertain about their future, always in anxiety about impending death, annihilation, always an anxiety due to the different sufferings that are caused by the material nature. So, if one becomes Krishna conscious, all these things are eliminated. Instead, one enjoys life to the highest platform of transcendental happiness on the same level as Krishna and his pure devotees in the spiritual world. And when the more we come to this platform, the more, as it says, vidimahendradis chakitayate. That even the great demigods and their abodes seem kaivalyanarakayate tridasha akashapura pushpayate. That If one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then even merging to Brahman seems hellish. And at the demigods' abodes and going there seems just like phantasmagoria. Dordendendriya Katali Prokata Damstrayate. That one will not be bothered anymore by the hankerings of the mind and the lamentations of the mind or the demands of the senses. And Vishvam Sukha, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. That everything will seem joyful. The whole world will seem full of joy. Vidhi Mahendradi Chakitayate. That even the great demigods will seem insignificant like insects. And what is the process? That if one gets the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yat Karuna Vai Bhavatam Yat Tam Guram Evastumaha. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Generally, most of them are impersonalists. They don't worship God. I mean, just their religion is that at worst, they worship their leader being nailed to a cross and bleeding. Not a very elevated worship. They become inspired when they see how their leader has been nailed to a cross and is suffering. There's one in the airport one time I saw this man walking through. He had this t-shirt on. It says, on the t-shirt, it had a picture of a hand and a spike going through it. And the t-shirt said, "His pain is your gain." This is their consciousness. So not a very elevated kind. And besides that, they don't follow any principles. They think, let us go on sinning and Jesus Christ, he'll have to suffer for all our sins. So this is very nice of him. It's like the Jesus Christ credit card. You just charge all your sins to him. So you can go on sinning and he'll go on suffering. So this is their mentality. So such mentality is, it's demoniac. It has nothing to do with religion. But they have some, in the name of religion, they commit so many sinful activities. There may be some sincere Christians, but generally they don't act in a way that agitates or irritates others. Because Jesus Christ didn't come to agitate devotees. He came to make people into devotees. Anything else? Well, why not give the children the best things to eat? In other words, if you give them things like things full of sugar, they'll simply kill their health, simply become addicted, destroys their teeth and doesn't develop their body or their consciousness. So the best thing to give them is milk products, and to avoid things that are bad. Just because they want something, that doesn't mean they should have it, or at least have things that are available that are healthy. That will actually develop a strong body and mind. Yeah, of course, everyone's consciousness is affected. Why not theirs? Just like they've done studies and they've shown that children are hyperactive because they have the wrong diet, too much sugar. So everyone's consciousness is affected. Why not children's too? Everything affects our consciousness. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.